It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson, and welcome to the show. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going through some headlines in segments one and two. We'll be talking with Amy Oliver Cook, who is the executive director over at the Independence Institute, regarding this Proposition CC, which will be on your ballot, which you will be receiving very soon. And Proposition CC is a big swipe against Tabor, the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, which was passed by the people of Colorado back in 1992, and it's just all about consent. It says, hey, PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, if you A, want to raise our taxes, B, if you want to incur debt that we have to pay off, or C, if you want to keep our tax refunds, and we'll let government grow without you having to ask us at a rate of inflation plus population, which seems fair. Anything above that, then you would have to ask us. And Proposition CC says, hey, hardworking Coloradans, we don't want to have to ask you if we can keep your tax refunds. We just want to take them forever. And so that's why it's a no on CC. But Amy Oliver Cook will be able to give us more information on that. So that will be very important. Welcome to the show, and I am Kim Munson, and first of all, always like to say thank you to the team, to Zach and Patty and Keith and Charlie and producer Steve for keeping this train on the track. I greatly appreciate you guys.
Every time you say keep the train on the track, all I can think of is there's a poem out there about Casey Jones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he wasn't the greatest of engineers, the train didn't stay on the track. But at any rate, that's my twisted mind.
I guess so. We'll have to. I haven't read that story in a long time, so I'll have to read that. So, and thank you to you listeners. You each, you're treasured, you're valued. You have a purpose today. Go out, strive for excellence, and do something today to take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And we're hoping that here that we're helping with some things on your mind to really get you thinking about a variety of things. So with that, for our inspiration, I went to Mark Twain. And Mark Twain, you know, was a humorist I didn't put his information there, but, you know, many years ago. He wrote Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and all those different, you know, books. And he really had a great sense of humor. And in inspiration, he says, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Again, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. And today's funnies, since we're talking about Proposition CC and the socialization of many of the different things in Colorado that make our lives better, you see government continuing to try to use rules and regulations and overtaxation to control things such as transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data. I thought, okay, we'll do a little socialist joke today. Are you ready for this?
Yeah,
Steve?
Yes.
How many socialists does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know. How many?
One to petition the Ministry of Light for a bulb, 50 to establish the state production quota, 200 militia to force the factory unions to allow production of the bulb, and one to surreptitiously order an American light bulb.
Okay, I was trying to add that as you were going. That was 252 people.
Yes. And, of course, that is another thing, though. Don't get me started on the fact that the United States has gotten into mandating light bulbs, though, too. I tell you, when that first started, and it actually, I think that it was a Republican that might have even brought that forward. And it's like, come on, guys, this is not what government is supposed to be doing, is getting in the light bulb regulation business. And anyway, I do want to get to our first subject here. Have you seen this thing about the NBA and China? It's really important.
You know, I knew it was going on. I guess this fired up last week. And it's one of those, I have this filter, and maybe I should remove this filter, but I'll immediately make a decision, is that really pertinent or not?
Mm-hmm.
And you called earlier this morning to, you know, we talked about other things. So I have since read up on it and realized that that filter failed me. I really should have paid attention to this one because it smells.
Well, it really does. And if like Steve, and actually I have to admit that I wasn't really watching it that closely. And I got something, you know, on my phone this morning about it. I'm like, okay, I need to take a good look at this. And so what it is apparently the general manager of the Houston Rockets, Daryl Morey, expressed support for the pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong. And he tweeted something along the line of, you know, stand for freedom. And I'll have to find it was in here. Anyway, it just was just a very, you know, short tweet. Apparently the Chinese government was offended about this. And so Morey took the tweet down, and the NBA, they apologized to the Chinese government. And basically everybody's kind of walking it back. And Steve, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, this is all about money. The NBA wants access to the Chinese markets. We saw Google wanting access to the Chinese markets, where they were actually modifying their search engines to what the Chinese government is asking them to do. And then you look over at what's going on in Hong Kong, you know, these young people that say that we want freedom, we don't want the tyranny of China. And so you see Google, you see the NBA, and it's all about money. This, and I'm really disappointed in General Manager Morey, the fact that he would take down that tweet. You know, America stands for freedom. You know, we talk about freedom versus force. This is even not so subtle force. The Chinese government is saying, hey, you can't say what you want to say in America. And in fact, they capitulated to it. So here we're looking at freedom versus force. And the globalists have always said, Steve, that, hey, if we you know, get rid of our borders and if we trade with each other, that's a really good thing because then, you know, we'll all kind of kumbaya and we'll be able to exist together and there's not going to be any problems. Well, that's a bunch of malarkey because instead of exporting freedom to these other countries, and freedom is what the Hong Kong people want, we are importing tyranny where, in fact, we no longer have freedom of speech. And here, Morey was basically just making a statement about freedom. And so I want to make this point again. Instead of exporting freedom, we are importing tyranny.
You know, I like the way you think because I wouldn't normally come to the table and have that high level thing that you just now said. The kumbaya moment that everyone, you know, the globalists are seeking would come if all things were equal, but they're not equal. And usually one of the players has a huge stash of money involved. And that's what their primary concern really is. In terms of the NBA getting access to Chinese markets and stuff, you know, watch their behavior change as soon as China, you know, figuratively folds their arms and say, what did you just say? You know, you're shining light on places we don't want light shine.
Well, you know, and so it made me think about this whole Colin Kaepernick thing. And ultimately, you know, what it ultimately came down to, I think, as you really watched this, was it was really disrespectful of the American idea. You know, it wasn't about, you know, really a voice or, you know, but it was disrespectful for the American idea. And I remember talking years ago, this was back, you know, it was probably in the 60s. That, you know, we were having all the unrest here in America, and there was the burning of the flag and just really disrespecting the flag. And I talked to a veteran at that time who said, I disagree with what they are doing. However, I fought for the right that they could do that. And it really kind of hit me, and I'm like, okay, I get it, because freedom of speech, you may not like what somebody else has to say, But the other component of it is when somebody would disrespect the flag. You know, I've interviewed so many World War II veterans, and I've seen in their eyes the hurt and the concern of when they saw, you know, their buddies were killed. And so the American flag represents all those that have spilled blood and treasure over all these years to pass on freedom to the next generation. And so you get over here to Colin Kaepernick, and I felt he was disrespecting all of that. But yet, I get it. He has the right to do that because we are a free country. And so you may not like what somebody else has to say, but man, it's so important that they have the right to say it. You go to the next component, though, and that is ideally, you know, Ben Martin, when he's on, we talk about the Federalist Papers. Liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. So even though you have that freedom to disrespect the flag, perhaps out of good manners, you don't do that. So I'm going to put Kaepernick over here now and go back to the NBA. Here you have the Houston Rockets general manager, Daryl Morey, and I need to find, we'll do that during the break. I don't see it right here immediately in the article. But here we go. Morey's tweet, which read, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." And he took that tweet down. And so, my friends, I have to ask us, are we a country that is going to stand for freedom, or are we going to capitulate because of the almighty buck? Because if that's what we're standing on, ultimately, this whole great American experiment is in great, great danger. And so we need to make sure that we stand for freedom. And so the idea that General Manager Morey took that down and the NBA is capitulating just because they want access to those markets, you know, take a good, strong look. Are we exporting freedom, or are we importing tyranny? And with that note, let's go to break. This is Kim Munson, The Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. kim@kimmunson.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back. I am Kim Munson, and let's have a conversation. This is the Kim Munson Show, and be sure and check out my website. It is Kim Munson, and that's spelled MONSON.com. So KimMunson.com. All of our shows are archived there, and you can get the podcast there as well. And so be sure and check that out. Another couple of notes on China. Steve, you said something interesting. Apparently, there's trade talks again, later this week?
Thursday.
Okay. And so the NBA wants access to Chinese markets. And you made a great point during break. You said when Morey got the call, who was it? What do you think?
Yeah, when the first time the phone rang, who was actually on the phone? Was it some member of the Chinese government, or was it the NBA?
That's an excellent question. The other thing is China wants access to our markets. And President Trump, actually, he realizes that. And we had the sky is falling tariffs conversation when Trump put the tariffs on China. You're actually seeing, and Jason McBride was all over this. He said that, and Jason McBride, you know, with Presidential Wealth Management, he said that, in fact, what you would see is there would be adjustments by companies going to China and saying, we cannot pass these costs on to our consumers. And then you would also see possibly some of their manufacturing going to some of the other countries like Vietnam, India. And so they want access to our markets. And President Trump has understood that. And there we've had nobody on either side of the aisle for all these years that has sat down and said, hey, wait a minute, China, this isn't okay. We need to have a level playing field. We need free and fair trade instead of you subsidizing different industries like steel and then coming in and undercutting our companies, and our people are losing jobs. We want a free and fair trade. And so I'm grateful that President Trump is doing this. So, yes, I know the NBA wants access to their markets. Google wants access to their markets, but China wants access to our markets. And so we need to stand tough on that. Any other comments on that, Steve?
Well, obviously these meetings are coming at the end of the week, Thursday, Friday. The delegation from China is coming here. Let's just say that we have some tremendous breakthrough on our behalf that benefits us. This particular story about, the NBA and China will probably die instantly.
It probably will. But the big thing about it is that the big picture on this is, first of all, we don't have the guts to stand behind a tweet that says, what was it again? Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. We don't have the guts to say that? Really?
No.
And the other thing is, again, on globalists, they said it's going to be a kumbaya situation and, we're all going to live together and it's all going to be great. Well, it doesn't always work out that way. And so the question is, again, are we exporting freedom or are we importing tyranny? And I think that's the question. And that's freedom versus force, because tyranny always comes down to force. And if something is a really great idea, you don't have to force it. Speaking of that, why don't we move over to Proposition CC?
Oh, let's.
Let's do that. Okay.
I'm ashamed because I missed it. I guess I missed too much. October 3rd, was it that the Denver Post came out and said no on CC?
That's what I understand happened. Yes.
Can you imagine what was going on at the Capitol? I mean, they're right across the street from each other, but I can't imagine the windows were opening and the guns were coming out the windows. It's like, what's the matter with you guys? I thought you were in our pockets.
I find it astounding. So we'll talk to Amy Oliver Cook about that in the third and fourth segment. But Patty, has done amazing research. And she came across this website that has, it is listing all of the different corporate subsidies.
And keeping a running tally. I love this.
Yes. And so she said, hey, Kim, how about this? How about if every day we highlight some reasons why you should vote no on Proposition CC? Now, both of you have said, now, Kim, please clarify. And I'm a free market girl. I'm capitalism in its real form is wonderful because people go out, they take risk, and they try to create products or services that other people find great value in and that they are actually going to trade their hard-earned dollars for that service or for that product. And people can get wealthy. An example is the iPhone right here. And with Apple, Steve Jobs came up with an idea. He didn't, and he wasn't initially successful, but he came up with an idea that people said, hey, yeah, I'm gonna trade my hard-earned dollars because I think I have value, that creates value for my life. Then let's enter economic development, and that is government and their economic development programs. And it's all about is money and power and picking winners and losers. And so we need to make sure, and both you and Patty want our listeners to understand that we are not against business at all. What is so frustrating, though, is government coming in and giving some people tax incentives or tax subsidies and others not. And how is that fair? So with that, Patty has put together some very interesting information. Are you ready? It says, if you need a reason to vote no on Proposition CC, we have hundreds of millions of reasons all related to corporate welfare. If the state needs more money, which that's what they're saying with Proposition CC, is we don't have enough money, then why are tax incentives, credits, grants, etc. given to corporations? According to Good Jobs First Colorado Tracker, the Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade through the Economic Development Commission offered Arrow Electronics, an electronic equipment company with a market capitalization of $6.5 billion, a grant in 2010 in the amount of a little over $1 million. Tax credits in the years 2011 and 2014 to 17 totaling $18 million. The Colorado Community College Systems, through their program, Colorado First Training Program, offered $71,000 in training reimbursement. Arrow accepted the offerings for a total of $19,261,104. That's quite a bit of money. And adding that to yesterday's total, the grand total right now for offers accepted by corporations given subsidies by state agencies was a little over $60 million. So if the state is giving away or allowing these companies not to pay taxes in the amount of $60 million, and then over here with Proposition CC, they're saying, oh, it's only $20 for each taxpayer. You know, go ahead, just give your tax refunds up forever. Well, quite frankly, you know, how about if I have a choice about that? And while you have the government over here, and this is just the state. Many times you'll have counties and you'll have cities giving subsidies as well. So I thought that was very important. Now, the other thing, and this is you and Patty said, please note that we know that Arrow Electronics and the other companies we will be discussing are successful companies. Our point is that these companies do not need government money to maintain their success. We believe that the free market should stand alone without any government interference. It is better to cut taxes across the board without any preferential treatment for the chosen companies that allows the government to pick winners and losers. And when government picks winners and losers, the question is freedom versus force. Very quickly, I wanted to get to, let's see here, which one did I want to go to? I think the other one, there's so much information here, was on, I'm just about to it, and that was, oh, here we go, RTD and our freedom to drive. Tim Jackson had an opinion piece in Colorado Politics. He said, Colorado motorists still overwhelmingly opt for gas-powered vehicles. He said, Colorado's new car and truck dealers succeed by understanding and meeting the needs and desires of state consumers. He says, we enthusiastically offer customers any vehicle technology that's in demand. We steer clear of pushing consumers into vehicles that they don't want because we know that's a recipe for failure. Ultimately, we trust Colorado consumers to decide what vehicle is right for them and for our state. As Colorado Politics recently reported, the Colorado Automobile Dealers Association endorsed the federal decision to prevent California and allied states like Colorado from setting their own onerous vehicle emission standards. And as he said, as I noted at the time, conflicting standards set by California cartel creates a complicated, contradictory system that ultimately costs consumers. Now, this was, again, something that President Trump did, where he, when they put in these EPA regulations, California got a waiver to have different regulations. And then you've seen several different states that have adopted those. Colorado was among them. It doesn't really work for Colorado. But the next thing that they said is that when it comes to choosing vehicle types and technology, Coloradans vote with their wallets, and fewer choosing the electric vehicles, which have lost market share here in this year, falling below 3%. The vast majority of EV sales are concentrated in Colorado's population centers. Denver and Boulder counties alone accounting for 36% of that. And then, let's see, the last thing is Jeff Carlson, who had operated a Ford dealership in Glenwood Springs for more than 40 years, recently recounted his experience as an early adopter of electric cars. In 2016, Jeff's dealership went all in by stocking Fusion plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. Now, Steve, remember, these electric vehicles had significant tax incentives. There was, I think it was $7,500 from the feds that you got to take off your income taxes and $5,000 by Colorado. So anyway, he stocked these up in 2016. Despite generous tax credits for consumers, they failed to sell over a period of more than 400 days, and he ended up selling them at a substantial loss. Those losses were ultimately underwritten by consumers who purchased new gas-powered internal combustion engine vehicles. Ironically, those gas-powered vehicles, not EVs or hybrids, are responsible for most of the recent gains in fuel economy and emission standards, according to the New York Times. Now, do you see the freedom versus force in this whole thing? We're seeing government regulations that now are – now, he did this in a free market situation. But you had the incentives to buy these cars. So in a way, that was a force issue because – and they're saying you don't have to pay as much in your taxes as somebody else if you, in fact, buy these vehicles. But people said, we don't want these vehicles. And he ended up selling those at a loss. So that's back there, okay, 2016. Then we know that Governor Hickenlooper, shortly before he left office, and then Governor Polis, when he got into office, they both pushed forward executive orders that says to Colorado automobile dealers that if in fact you don't sell a certain amount of your portfolio in electric vehicles, then you're going to have to pay a penalty. Penalty is force. And then ultimately, who's going to have to pay for that will be the consumer. So you've got your hardworking Coloradans out there that want to go out and buy a new vehicle that is good for their family or good for their business, and it's going to cost more because government has their hands all over that. Does that make sense, Steve? Did I do okay on that, do you think?
You did well. Now, the gentleman with the car, the dealership, that was Glenwood Springs.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry to be a Debbie Downer or Dave Downer. Excuse me. Did he do his homework, though? I mean, Glenwood Springs is still a relatively mountainous area. And again, the consumers who live there in that area is like, well, wait a minute. These electric vehicles don't have the power I need in the mountains. The infrastructure out there in the mountains to be able to charge is not what it needs to be. So I'm sorry he had to take a loss.
Yeah. But he may have had promises. You know,
I don't know.
You just never know about that. So, hey, let's go to break. Let's see. Jason McBride, do you have any comments on any of these things I've been talking about today?
Well, I think Steve is half wrong completely, because if they're in the mountains, they'd be able to coast down the hills half the time. They just need to get a charging station or two up at the top of the hills.
Oh, I think, Jason, you're absolutely right. So, hey,
it's a good thing he's not here in the studio today.
That's probably true. So let's talk.
Is that a threat or what? Are you going to punch me?
I don't know. Okay. We'll let you know next time you're in the studio. We'll have to take that up again. So, hey, before we go to break, though, and, you know, we've talked a lot about these Roth IRAs, and it's just really interesting. I mean, there's some really great things about it, but I think you said there's a couple more things you wanted to cover.
Well, there is. You know, another reason to think about these is, you know, Kim, life doesn't always go the way we plan, and sometimes you have an emergency and you have to take a large withdrawal from your retirement, and that can come in the form of a medical issue. You know, a lot of times, Kim, it comes in the form of having to help out one of your children, even when they're full grown. I mean, that could be a loss of a job, I mean, legal issue, whatever it is. But if you take a large withdrawal out of a regular IRA, you know, some bad things can happen. One is a large withdrawal is going to push up your tax rate, and luckily we're in fairly low tax rate scenarios right now, so that doesn't hurt quite as bad as it might have in the past, but it still does hurt, and that rate can go up pretty quick. The other thing that can happen there, Kim, is very quickly is more and more of your Social Security can become taxable just from a small increase in the amount of your withdrawals. So though the tax issue is one issue, the other one that people just despise If you take a large enough withdrawal, then your Medicare premiums can go up for a year because they look at your income each year. If it's over a certain amount, they add on a extra amount to your Medicare premiums because of the higher income. So with a Roth IRA, none of this stuff happens because any withdrawals you take are tax-free, no matter what the size is. So if you do have that emergency, it doesn't hurt your taxes, it doesn't hurt your Social Security, and it certainly doesn't throw you into that income-related Medicare premium increase territory.
Well, you know, and every little bit helps, and so planning with what you have there is so important. I had not realized all these benefits of Roth IRAs, and so this has really been informative to I think our listeners on that. And so if people want to talk with you, Jason, they can reach out to you. The phone number over there, Natalie, will be at the switchboard at 7:30. Presidential Wealth Management is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And I know you'll sit down and take a look at things and help people figure out, you know, what would work best for them individually.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe a Roth's not right for you. Maybe it is. But a discovery session will help you to get a good look at where you are right now and what do you need to do to get where you need to go and stay there. You know, sometimes you get where you need to go and then you end up coming back the other way. Our job is to get you there and then keep you there.
Well, most definitely. So give Jason a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Great to talk to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Jason.
Okay, have a great show, Kim.
Okay, thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Proposition CC.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
This week at the 88 Drive-In Theater, enjoy three scary movies under the stars, all for only $9. 47 Hours, Joker, and It Chapter 2. The 88 Drive-In Theater is open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, but closed Tuesday and Wednesday. Monday and Thursday, try the very popular pizza special. Plus, new on the menu, crunchy churros with hot coffee or cocoa. Follow the 88 Drive-In on Facebook or visit their website, 88drivein.net.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Let's have a conversation. And I thought we were going to have a conversation with Amy Oliver Cook, but looks like maybe something happened. So we'll continue on with some of these headlines. When we were in the second segment, we were going through this piece about electric vehicles here in Colorado. And when I was on city council, what I saw was just this real movement by politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties up and down the Front Range, which were continuing. They had this romance with light rail and this romance with getting people out of their cars. And it was troubling to me because I thought, you know, the freedom of mobility, the ability to go where you want to, when you want to, is really truly freedom. Don't you remember the first time that you got behind the wheel as a kid and you could go wherever you wanted? You had your new driver's license. I mean, there was something really free about that. And so what you're seeing is RTD is starting a new campaign that is looking to address declines in ridership and changing travel behavior. This was from 9 News. And the RTD on Wednesday unveiled its Reimagine RTD campaign, which is a 2-year effort to address ridership decline and the changing competitive landscape that includes rideshare services and the potential for self-driving vehicles. The way people are traveling is changing, RTD said in a news release. People across the metro area are redefining how they get around. RTD's ridership numbers have steadily decreased since 2014, and approximate ridership numbers based on annual boarding since then have continued to go down. And so I think the thing, once again, that is troubling here is that they are wanting to change travel behavior. And because they're a government agency, you might see force all over this. We're talking about the executive orders from Hickenlooper and from Polis regarding trying to force car dealers to sell electric vehicles, and people are saying we don't want them. But, oh, hey, we do have Amy on the line. That is awesome. Amy Oliver Cook is the executive director of the Independence Institute, which is a think tank here in Colorado that stands for freedom. Amy Oliver Cook, it is great to have you on the line.
Well, thank you, Kim, and I apologize for the technology failure that I had this morning and for being late. But I couldn't help but sort of chuckle inside as I was listening to you explain how RTD, which frankly has failed at a whole host of things, is now going to try and social engineer travel behavior for people in the metro area. I mean, if anything screams nobody wants to ride on RTD, it is just the recent trend that you brought up, which is a massive decline in ridership as their budget has gone up. You know, anyone else would pull the plug on something or think of or try to accommodate consumers, but no, RTD wants to make consumers accommodate them. It is a prime example that government is really bad at predicting long-term trends.
Well, and we had done a piece or talked about a piece last week that RTD is subsidizing the cost of your ticket, your RTD ticket, to the tune of over $600 million per year.
In other words, taxpayers are subsidizing.
Yeah, exactly. Taxpayers are subsidizing that, and subsidizing something that doesn't work. But there's this bigger thing, and that is the kind of the elites that do drive around in their vehicles, that do have, you know, special parking privileges downtown. They want everybody else to ride around on buses and trains and bicycles. But yet they want the freedom of their mobility. And once again, that's not fair, and that's not their proper role of government.
Right, right. It's like, well, let them eat cake. We'll toss them some RTD crumbs. No, it's horrible. Listen, the Polis administration, if you go into the parking lot at the state capitol, most of these people are driving gasoline-powered cars. Faith Winter, who is a state senator out of Westminster, who famously said, we have to get people out of cars. She isn't taking RTD to work every day. She's not riding a bike. She's driving a car. These people have an insatiable appetite for two things: our money and control over how we live our lives. It's almost as if they have an addiction to it. They can't help but try and take our money, more of our money, so they can do what's best for us, which is get us out of our cars and get us into a bus or on a bike, or in a car that we don't want to drive. These electric vehicles, on average, cost about $12,000 more than a regular car. And by the way, and I'll say this real quick, go to coalitionceoratepayers.org. We're actually doing a whole thing. You can click on the link for mobility about the president's new SAFE rule, which is essentially telling states like Colorado and California, you guys can't just do your own patchwork of regulation that drives up the price of a car and makes the rest of the country pay for it, because make no mistake, somebody pays for this, just like with RTD. Riders are paying for it. Taxpayers pay for it. Well, Coloradans will be forcing people in rural areas, and I actually won't be Coloradans, it's really the Denver Boulder elites, forcing rural Coloradans and forcing farmers and ranchers from flyover country to pay for the Polis administration and a handful of Denver and Boulder elected officials to be able to virtue signal about electric cars. It's ridiculous. But it's the same thing with, our topic today, which will be Proposition CC. They cannot stop taking our money. It really is an addiction. It's weird.
Well, and Amy, well, let's go to break here in just a moment. And you probably didn't hear what we talked about in the earlier segment, but Patty, my researcher, has found a website that actually lists all of the different subsidies and tax incentives, credits, grants that are given to corporations. And it's absolutely astounding. So yesterday we talked about NextEra, and that amount was, I think, 40-something million. Today we mentioned Arrow Electronics that has accepted tax incentives all. And this is just from the enterprise zones of, well, maybe not. I shouldn't say that. This may be total. From the state of Colorado, it doesn't include counties or municipalities. Arrow accepted over $19 million in tax incentives. So how is it that Colorado doesn't have enough money, but we're offering millions and millions of dollars to big companies? And a lot of it, I think, is control, and then big companies, big business and big government like each other. And here they are with Proposition CC going, oh, hey, little hardworking Coloradans, it's only $20. That's all you're going to miss. Let us have more of your money. So on that note, let's go to break. Amy, I want to hear what you have to say when we come back. This is Kim Munson. It's the Kim Munson Show. I have Amy Oliver Cook on the line. She is the executive director of the Independence Institute. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
Big John. Big John.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Kim Munson, and let's have a conversation about Proposition CC. Thrilled to have on the line with me Amy Oliver Cook. Be sure to check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. All of our shows are archived there. The podcasts are there, so you may want to have folks listen to this. Proposition CC, they want more of our money. And as I have looked at this, there is deception. and dishonesty, I think, with the way this thing has been written, the way it's been promoted. I know that's pretty strong words, but as I look at it, and if something is a really good idea, Amy, you don't have to use deception. You don't have to not tell the whole truth if something's a really good idea. And I see with Prop CC all kinds of naughty stuff going on. Let me put it that way.
Well, that's well said. In the words of constitutional scholar Rob Nadelson, let's just talk real quickly about the ballot language. He calls it ballot title abuse. And that's correct. It says without raising taxes. Well, make no mistake, if the government keeps more of my money, my tax rate might not go up, but I'll tell you what does go up, my tax burden. So they're not increasing tax rates. Had it said without increasing tax rates, that would be accurate. But it doesn't say that. It says without increasing taxes. And that is a lie. If I go to McDonald's and I buy $9, let's say I buy $9 worth of food and I hand the cashier a 10, and she just keeps all of it, doesn't give me back my dollar, that meal cost me more than it would have if they had given me back my $1 and change. This is essentially the state government saying, we're not giving you back. We know you overpaid, but we're not giving it back. And they're not doing it one time, Kim. They're doing it forever. So we're giving up our children's right to get their money back and our grandchildren's right to get their money back. And we're going to give it up. We're going to give it up. We're going to give up their right to get it back with one vote. One vote in 2019 will give up our right to our constitutionally mandated Tabor tax refund. I mean, and then they go on to say to better fund roads and education. Well, you know what? As Casey Becker says, no legislature can bind a future legislature. She said there are no guarantees where this money will go. When the state did this in 2005 with RFSI, and now that was temporary. It was they called it a temporary Tabor timeout. We could argue that it has increased, well, for sure it has increased the size and scope of government. But at least it was only for 5 years that we would give up our Tabor refunds. This would give them up forever. And as she said, you can't find future legislatures. Well, that's true. And what we found with Referendum C back in 2005, for those of us who were here and voted against it, everything we said about it came true, which is that the state legislature didn't put the money where they said they would put it. They totally violated the spirit of it because it's only in statute, so the state legislature can change it.
Okay.
Roads and education didn't get more money. In fact, projects not even associated with Referendum C got funded at twice the rate of the Referendum C identified programs. And here's the other thing. They're throwing in, like they did in 2005, they're doing it now, and they're saying higher education's going to get more money. Ask Hank Brown how that worked out. Former U.S. Senator Hank Brown, who was the president of the University of Northern Colorado and then became president of the University of Colorado, he was a Referendum C supporter. He won't support Proposition CC because, as he found out firsthand, the money didn't go to where the legislature said it would. And higher ed, in fact, got starved. So this... Like, I love the way Rob Nadelson puts it. It's ballot title abuse. It's meant to mislead. You are absolutely right. If you just read the ballot language, you'll go, yeah, I want to better fund roads. I want to better fund schools. And I can do it without raising taxes. Sure. But it is not true. And I tell you what, if an average citizen came up with that ballot language, it would get shot down because it is so wholly inaccurate.
Well, okay, a couple of things then is, and this is another deception. So number one, it says without raising taxes, and that is not true. So in your example that you just gave about McDonald's, or, you know, we're not beating up on McDonald's, we're just using it as an example. So McDonald's might advertise, we are not raising our prices. Not raising our prices. You go in and like you say, you buy $9 worth of stuff, you give them a 10. They didn't raise their prices, but they kept the other dollar. Well, it cost you more. Okay, so that example. So that's number one deception. Number two, and you hit that, I think that there has, again, been a subtle push to not do things sometimes regarding taking care of our roads and bridges and doing things that increase congestion and frustration for people. An example is that in downtown Denver, they're going to take another lane in a couple of different streets and make it bus only. And, you know, we've already seen them take a lane for bike paths. And so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that you are going to have more congestion. So they say, oh, we're going to fix congestion. We're going to fix our roads and bridges. People are going, yeah, I would like that. And then regarding education, people look at it and they say, we really would love to make sure that our good teachers are making more money. So they play into that. First of all, so you go to the website. I'm not going to give the website, but it's the one that's in favor of CC. And it says, if passed, the money, $264 million in fiscal year 20 and $143 million in fiscal year 21 would be divided equally among roads and bridges and transit. Again, they add in transit. And that is your, you know, RTD and your light rail, your buses, your bike paths. So you think it's going to go to roads and bridges, but they've got transit in there as well. And just to note, they have been shaving money out of the gas tax money for transit for a number of years. If, in fact, that they had not been doing this, there was a Wall Street Journal article a few years ago that said that probably we would be able to be funding our roads and bridges. But then they have K-12 public schools and higher education. But see, the subtlety in this Amy Oliver Cook is that they're only talking about fiscal year 20 and 21. So this legislature may make that promise for this year. But as you mentioned, Casey Becker has said there's no way we can bind future legislatures to use the money this way. So they imply that that's where the money is going to go, and there is no guarantee. It's a blank check.
That's exactly right. This money can go wherever a legislature wants it to go. It can go. So rural Colorado can pay for, you know, more Teslas for the Denver metro area. Rural Colorado can be paying for bike lanes for the Denver metro area. There is no guarantee on where this stuff's supposed to go. And then ask yourself this, and we talked about this years. $1,000 faster fees. Where are those? I thought those were supposed to go to roads and bridges. Nope. And remember this from 2018, Senate Bill 1, supposed to be bonding for roads and bridges. They're supposed to be on the ballot this year. That is now Democrat in control. They have pulled a bill that had bipartisan support that was going to be for bonding for roads and bridges. They pulled that. Why? Because they're interested in fixing roads.
Okay. Hey, Amy, we've got a little bit of a tough connection there. So I think what I just want to reiterate and see if we can get that connection just a little bit better is that there was in 2018 Senate Bill 1 that was supposed to be on the ballot, and I hadn't even thought about it until you just mentioned it. It's like, where is that? That didn't happen, right? Did it?
No, Senate Bill 1 is not, it was supposed to be on the ballot. We're not even talking about that because they just want our money. They're not interested in fixing roads and bridges.
You know, and we're just about out of time, but I think we need to have you back. But there is this whole thing to get your money is being very well funded. It's being very well organized. You take a look at this website. It costs thousands of dollars for this pro-CC. And then you look at the endorsements, and these are all politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are at the trough. They're at the trough to get more money. And so, it's impressive, the number of organizations and elected officials and individuals. But many of them are at the trough, and they want more of your heart, you hardworking, everyday person out there taking care of your families and going to work. They want more of your money. The answer is no on Prop CC. Amy Oliver Cook, final thought.
Please visit vote no on cc.org. And Kim, for folks who want yard signs, we just got them in. Contact, again, vote no on cc.org. If you would like a yard sign, or you can email me, amy@i2i.org.
Okay, Amy Oliver Cook, Executive Director with the Independence Institute, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, our quote for today is Mark Twain. I thought that this was very appropriate in the Proposition CC conversation. He says, patriotism is supporting our country all the time and your government when it deserves it. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.